Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley.
It's good to be back. And I thank God because of his goodness and his mercy and his faithfulness. My name is Victor, and as Pastor Rohan has said, I am an ordained minister of the Word of God. And I've been a member of the Kingdom Faith family since October 2006. I attended the Crawley congregation for a few months at Oriel High School. And then I went to Horsham for a few years. In January 2016, I was prayed out by Pastor Clive and Pastor Jonathan Croft to go and pastor a church in Mitcham. And I was there for 5 years until when COVID came. And then after COVID, obviously, losing the building and everything because everything went into a lockdown. After we reopened, I went back to Horsham. And I thank God because I've been there, been playing a few roles here and there. And I thank God because of the invitation to be back here today. Amen. I'm going to delve straight into the Word of God. We are doing a series on spiritual formation. And I want to say something that I said in Horsham a fortnight ago, that when you talk about formation, we are talking about a process. It does not just happen overnight. And what I would encourage you to do is to cooperate with God to grow through the process as you go through the process. I like saying that a butterfly is not just a beautiful or a pretty caterpillar. It is a totally different form because it has gone through the process. And so as we go through spiritual formation, we are going to go through a series of transformations. Trans means change. It means to go through. And we are going to be changed from one form to another, as the Bible says, as we grow from one level of glory to another level of glory, from grace to grace. And as Ephesians chapter 4 says, until we grow to maturity and attain the full measure of Christ. Now, it's important to understand when the Bible says that in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, it does not just talk about individual believers. It talks about the body of Christ, the church, that we all grow together. If you read from chapter 4, verse 11 down to verse 14 there, it says, we grow together as the Lord is working and equipping us through the apostles, through the prophets, through the pastors, evangelists, and teachers, until we all attain the measure of fullness in Christ. And so today, we're going to talk about submission as one of the disciplines that are going to help us in that spiritual journey. Now, I want to start by saying that if you intend to be successful in anything you do in life, you have to walk in submission. And I will define submission in just a short moment. Just think about anything that you have done in life, that you have succeeded in. You have had to either submit, sacrifice, or compromise. And today, as we talk about submission, I want us to approach submission from a divine perspective, not from a worldly outlook, because submission is one of them topics that are a little bit not easy to talk about. Jesus Christ, the Bible says that he was fully submitted to God the Father. He was fully submitted to the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he declared before he finished his mission that not my will, but thy will be done. And he said, I do not do anything of my own will other than what I see my Father do. So he was fully submitted to the leading of God the Father and to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that is why he was successful in his mission. And unfortunately, as we saw last year when we talked about, I think I preached through the live stream about
the new nature we have in Christ. We are new creatures. Unfortunately, a fallen man and a carnal man is by nature defiant. Let me explain the difference between a fallen man and a carnal man. A fallen man is a man who has not been regenerated. Of course, when I say man, I mean humanity. Who has not been regenerated through the rebirth, has not been born again. Their spirit is not quickened. The Bible says they are spiritually dead. If anyone is still in sin, the Bible teaches us that they are spiritually dead. That is a fallen man, the natural man. But now, once you come to Jesus and you become born again, but you do not submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit, your flesh and your soul are still leading you, then we call you a carnal man. By nature, the fallen man and the carnal man is defiant. And therefore, when you talk about submission, our natural tendency is to defy. Our natural tendency is to rebel, because the soul is rebellious against God. The Bible says the flesh wills against the spirit. So therefore, my topic today is spirit-led submission. Because you cannot submit to God, you cannot submit to leadership, you cannot submit one to another unless and until the Holy Spirit leads you and empowers you to do it. Because by nature, we are defiant. And before I go to my verses, I also want to touch on something else that is very, very important, that unfortunately in the history of the church and in the history of humanity, we find that submission is one area where people don't want to delve into, because it has been used to subdue and subjugate people. Just interrogate the history of the church. I remember saying it in Hosham a fortnight ago, that even some of the revivalists that we celebrate, someone like Jonathan Edwards in the 1700s, he kept slaves in his household, and he justified his keeping of slaves through the word of God. So I have come to understand that sometimes some people do not interpret the word of God correctly, and to the extent that they do not interpret the word of God correctly, then they end up in error. It is important that you attend Bible study sessions. It's important wherever possible, if there is a theological training happening, you attend. If there is a Bible school that is Christ-led, that is Bible-focused, that you attend. Because it is important to interpret the Bible correctly. Right interpretation leads to right living. Wrong interpretation leads to wrong application, and it leads to wrong living. Are we still together so far? And so we find there are some verses I will touch today, what were known back in the day as household codes, which were written by Paul, by Peter, and we find them in the book of Ephesians, in the book of Colossians, in the book of Corinthians, in Titus, which were given as what we call practical theology back in the day to help people live within the environment where they lived. We call it the Greco-Roman Empire. And unfortunately, some of these verses have been used in generations past to subdue and subjugate women, to subdue and subjugate children, and even to exercise ungodly power and authority over slaves. And therefore today, as I speak about submission, some of the verses I'm going to talk about, or I'm going to read, I want you to take them in the context of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Are we so far together? Because it is not the will of God that anyone walks under the yoke of bondage. Galatians chapter 5, verse 26 to verse 28. Galatians 5, 26 to 28. The Bible says, you have become true children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Faith immersed you into Christ, and now you are covered and clothed with his life. And we no longer see each other in our former state, Jew or non-Jew, rich or poor, male or female, because we are all one through our union with Jesus Christ. So Paul here is addressing an issue that has been brought about by some people we call Judaizers. And he tells the Galatians, what I want you to understand is that now, because of our union in Christ, we are one. We are the same in the eyes of God. I didn't hear an amen. I'm going to be provoking you. I want there to be a little bit of life today. I'm an African Pentecostal and we like saying amen. So the Bible says we have become one in Christ. We are equal in the eyes of God. I have listened to some people preach on TV saying that God has favorites. That there are some people who are more anointed. They have more grace. They have more power. That is a fact. But the Bible still remains true that we are all equal in the eyes of God. When Peter went to the house of Cornelius, he says, I am now persuaded that God has no favorites. Praise the name of Jesus. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Jesus announces his mission. This is his mission statement, and he's reading a scroll from the book of Isaiah, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Therefore, under the authority of God's word, I submit it to you, ladies and gentlemen, that we cannot oppress each other and still walk in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. Galatians 5 and verse 1. The Bible says it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Hallelujah. Can I hear an amen? Therefore then, what I'm trying to say here is that as we get into submission in just a short while, submission was never intended to be a tool to subjugate, to subdue, or even to treat other people in any manner, shape, or form contrary or antithetical to the finished work of Jesus Christ. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. And today, as a minister of the gospel, I stand to repent on behalf of ministers of the gospel who have subdued, subjugated, and subjected people to a very degrading treatment, especially women and especially children, under the guise of using the word of God. To the extent that they have done that, we declare that they are in error. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Amen. And now that we have that in agreement, the word of God still remains true. The verses that were given to us as household codes still hold. So how do we apply them in today's context? When interpreting the Bible, it's important to understand something called context and content. Because not everything given in the Bible as an explanation or a description is a prescription for today's believer. I'll give you an example. A story is told, I think I had these a long time ago in a Bible school somewhere, that one person didn't have a good plan for reading their Bible. I think my Bible is in the bag somewhere there. Let me just get my Bible. And I want to illustrate something here. So he didn't have a good plan. You know, there are some plans of how to read the Bible. There is what you call SOAP, scripture, observation, application, prayer. There are some others we call observation, interpretation, application, prayer, so many others. So the guy went and got hold of his Bible. And he opened his Bible and he said, Lord, speak to me. Open his Bible. And he read the verse that says, and Judas went and hanged himself. Okay, Lord, speak to me again. And then he opened the Bible again where Jesus is speaking to a young rich ruler. And Jesus says to him, go and do likewise. Different contexts. So Jesus is telling someone about
loving his neighbor and loving God and all that kind of a thing. And he says, you know, Jesus tells him after the discussion, he says to him, go and do likewise. And here is someone who has just read a Bible verse about Judas killing himself because of betraying Jesus, and another verse that says, go and do likewise. And he believed that God was telling him to go and do what Judas did. It is important we understand how to interpret Scripture. Put the Scripture in its context so that you do not end up with wrong teachings. I'm digressing. So the principle in the Bible verses I'm just about to read is not so much about the title and the position. It is so much to do with function. For example, I've just told you about Ephesians chapter 4, where the Bible says it is God who gave some to be apostles, to be prophets, to be teachers, to be evangelists, to be pastors. And God, in my opinion and my understanding of the word of God, he never intended these to be titles and possessions to exercise authority over people. These were functions that were meant to bring the body of Christ into maturity. Read it in its context. And that is why I'm not fast. If people call me Victor, or they call me Pastor Victor or Brother Victor, some other places I go, like in America, they call me Apostle Victor. I don't think I am an apostle. And so on and so forth. The titles are not that important in my opinion. They have their function. But what is important, it is how you operate in that function. So therefore, I'm going to touch on some three or four levels of functions in the Bible where submission is supposed to be a daily part of our lives. And what I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, is that you learn to do things from the Bible, not out of obligation, but out of revelation. It is important to walk in revelation. I like giving an example of giving. Do you know you can be the best giver in the church and still walk in poverty? Now you're looking at me like, what did you just say? Giving is a biblical principle, correct? Giving is a Bible discipline. But you can continue giving from January to December and still continue being stuck in debt and continue living in poverty. And it's important to give from a place of understanding. We've just done about 2 or 3 months of prayer as a series. It is also important that we learn how to do prayer out of revelation, but not out of obligation. Because God is not, in fact, the Bible says, Jesus said that, take my burden because my burden is light and my yoke is easy. Are we together so far? So submission here, therefore, is I want us to do submission from a point of revelation, a point of conviction, and not out of obligation. What we call begrudging obedience. Just because I have been told to do it, I'm going to do it anyway. No, we need to do things with a revelation. When you do things from a place of revelation, they are not burdensome. When you do things from a place of revelation, they are a delight. When you do things from a place of revelation, you start reaping the blessings thereof. What is submission? So submission means to align oneself under the authority of another. To align oneself under the authority of another. I have checked in the New Testament, and in every place where the word submission is used, the Greek word used there is called hypotasamai. I don't like saying these things that I can sound very learned or educated, but I like giving that so you can get the context. And the context there has a military connotation. If there is anyone here who has ever served in the military, you know how the lines of command operate in the military. You know how orders are followed. I have never been in the military, but I understand you do not question orders even when they're coming from a senior officer who's younger than you. There is a chain of command. So submission in the New Testament is presented by both the Gospels and the Epistles as aligning yourself under the authority of another person. And there are two dimensions, in my opinion, according to the word of God, of submission that I want to touch on today. Number one is servanthood. Submission manifests through servanthood. We are called to exercise servanthood to serve one another as our way of submitting. I want to begin by reading a very interesting portion of scripture. Romans chapter 16, verse 1 to verse 5. I'm going to read from the Truth Version. Romans 16, verse 1 to verse 5. The Bible says, Phoebe is about to visit you, and I want you to receive her in a way that will bless the Lord. Can I just first of all pause there? Have you ever gone to a place and you were received in a way that does not please the Lord? Come on, talk to me. And you were like, I want to look for the nearest exit and get out of here. So I don't know what was happening this time, but I think there were some people who were not hospitable to one another. And Phoebe, it is argued that she is the one who took the letter to the Romans. So Paul actually gave her, it was a hand-delivered letter. I stand to be guided on this, Jeff, if I'm not right. And Paul is introducing Phoebe. And he says of her, she is about to visit you, and I want you to receive her in a way that will bless the Lord. That part blesses my heart. May I first of all declare to you that may the Lord make other people to receive you in a way that blesses the Lord. May the Lord make other people to receive you in a way that blesses the Lord. When you walk into those offices, may you be received in a way that blesses the Lord. When you go to those neighborhoods, may you be received in a way that blesses the Lord. In the name of Jesus. She is our sister in faith and a servant of the church in St. Cray, or however you pronounce that. So I am sure you will treat her in a worthy manner as befits the saints of God, and that you will help her in any way necessary. She is herself a wonderful servant and has helped many others, including me. Give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila. They have been fellow workers with me in Christ Jesus. They even risked their lives for me. All the churches among the nations are thankful to God for them, as I am myself. Now, I want to jump and go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21, and I will put it into context. Ephesians 5 and 21. Ephesians 5 and 21. The Bible says, Ephesians 5 and 21, submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So, here we have a model of servanthood through mutual submission. You submit to me, I submit to you. And we see from this text here, Paul talks about a situation that there is. There is a lady here by the name of Phoebe. Some versions say that she was a deaconess in the church. And there are two people here, a couple, Priscilla and Aquila, who were Paul's business partners in tent-making business, but they were also elders of the church. And he gives an example of what it is to serve one another. She says that this deaconess by the name of Phoebe, she devoted her life in serving the apostles, especially myself. She devoted herself in serving the church. We are not told what exactly she did, but whatever she did, the Bible finds it worth mentioning her name, that she served the Lord, that she was a servant of the church, and she was a woman who is worth of being treated in a worthy manner. The Bible says that you help her in any way necessary. She is a wonderful servant and has helped many, including me. Now, think about Paul, the apostle. Paul, the miracle worker. Paul, who wrote almost half of the canonized New Testament. Paul, the man that God used so mightily. He is acknowledging that my effectiveness in ministry would not have been so were it not for people who served me. And Phoebe is one of them. Let me ask you a question. Where do you serve in the church? One of the easiest and the quickest ways to grow in the Lord is through service. Your act of service is an act of submission to God. submitting one to another. You come to church, you put your degrees aside, you put your prosperity aside, you put everything that is outwardly to be reckoned to your name aside, and you say, I am here, Lord. I will serve you in any manner. If today I am told by Pastor Rohan to carry the equipment, I will do it so gladly. In Hosham Church, I am a cameraman. I do it with a lot of joy and delight. I don't always preach. In fact, I preach very few times, far and between, and I am happy that way. But I serve in any place where God has positioned me to serve. I don't serve because I am an ordained minister. I don't serve because I know how to read and articulate the word of God. I serve because it is the Lord Jesus Christ I'm serving. If today I'm told to sweep, I will sweep. The Bible says there was a lady by the name of Lydia. Is it Lydia? Who died? Dorcas. Who died? And when Dorcas died, the Bible says the women who are mourning and grieving, they brought the linen and the clothes she used to make to the feet of the apostles. And they said, see what she used to do for the church. And the Bible says they prayed for her and she came back to life. I want to ask you a question. Can anything be presented to God as your act of service? Can anything be presented to God? There was a king by the name of Hezekiah, and the Bible says prophet Isaiah was sent to him, and he was told, go and tell Hezekiah to put his house in order, for he is coming home. So the prophet enters into the court of the king, and he says, king, greetings to you. I have a message from the Lord. Put your house in order because you're going home. And the king says, never, it can't be me. And the Bible says he turned to the wall and he began to pray to God. And he said, God, remember how I have served you. Remember how I have walked before you faithfully. And the Bible says the prophet had not even gone beyond the front door. The word of the Lord came back to him again. Go to him and tell him, I have heard his prayer and I have added to his life 15 years. It's in the Bible. What can be reckoned? What can be presented as your account? Let me tell you something. One day we shall all stand before God and give an account. The Bible says it is therefore important for a steward to be faithful. The talents that you have, the gifts that you have, the knowledge that you have, God did not give that to you for you just to feel good and feel loaded, but God gave it to you so that you can utilize it in the kingdom. One day we shall go home and give an account, and guess what the greeting shall be? Welcome home, good and faithful. Not welcome home, good and faithful doctor. Not welcome home, good and faithful pastor. Not welcome home, good and faithful bishop. Welcome home, good and faithful servant. Phoebe served the church. Priscilla and Aquila, they served Paul. The Bible says they risked their lives for the sake of Apostle Paul. And I'm not here to do any campaign for Pastor Rohan or his family. They haven't paid me, no. I'm here to articulate the word of God. I always say this, that you cannot love God and not love whoever God installs. Praise the name of Jesus. Mutual submission. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3 to verse 4. Philippians. Philippians 2, 3 to 4. I'm talking about servanthood. And I have deliberately not talked about Jesus washing the feet of disciples, because under the transformation series, I think there is a sermon on servanthood. I know last week in Hosham, Pastor Simon did a very good work about it, and he touched on that verse. Philippians 2, 3 to 4, the Bible says, verse 3 to 4, okay, who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be. Okay, I'm going to do mine here. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambitions or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in the human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Hallelujah. I like the way it starts. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Do nothing out of vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. The Bible is very clear here that submitting one to another, mutual submission one to another, is a matter of humility. A church, a believer that walks in humility has no struggles submitting. A believer or a church that walks in love has no problems submitting. Because submission is an outworking of love. Submission is an outworking of humility. That's what the Bible says. Do nothing out of selfish ambitions. You know, I like saying this, that some of the prayers we pray for people, and especially when we pray for deliverance, I like casting demons out. It is not because the devil is oppressing you. It is because God is opposing you. Oh, you don't like that one now. The Bible says that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Some of the fights you have in the workplace, it is not the enemy, it is God. I like saying when God sees some pride in you, he will oversee your coming down. He will oversee it. He will supervise it. The Bible says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. Don't let the Lord humble you. It might not be that very interesting. So some of the battles, I want you to do a quick check and see, is it really the devil opposing me or is it God opposing me? Because the word of God is true. He gives grace to the humble, but he opposes the proud. So the Bible says here, do not do anything out of a selfish ambition, but not looking at your own interest, but in humility, value others above yourself. I'm talking about servanthood as one of the manifestation of submission. Number, Matthew 20, the Bible says, Matthew 20, 25 to 28, the greatest one among you will live, have you got it, Matthew 20, yeah, the greatest one among you will live as the one who is called to serve others. Because the greatest honor and authority is reserved for the one with the heart of a servant. For even the Son of Man did not come expecting to be served, but to serve and give his life in exchange for the salvation of many. I'm talking about servanthood. So the greatest one among you will live as the one who is called to serve others. So if you want to look for the greatest person in any congregation, don't look for that person with a big title, for that one in a suit and a tie. Look for that person who is serving others. Jesus says he or she is the greatest one among you. And he says the greatest honor and authority is reserved for the one with the heart of a servant. Do a quick reflection for a minute or for a second. How is my heart? Am I quick to serve others or am I quick to find excuses not to serve others? If you are good in serving others, the Bible says that the greatest honor and the greatest authority is reserved for you. So the call to submit, therefore, is a call to serve one another. Employ your gifts for the service of other people. Employ your talents for the service of other people. Not wanting to look what I will get in return. The Bible says it is the Lord Jesus Christ you are serving. Hallelujah. Number two. So I've talked about servanthood. The next thing I want to talk about. So servanthood, the first point was mutual submission, submitting one to another. Point number two, I want to go through some points here, is mutual submission within a household. This is where I began by telling you that I'm going to touch on some things that might touch on some raw nerves. I call them live wires, but we are well protected by the word of God. I want to talk about some things here. Biblical submission, number one, is a response to biblical headship. We cannot talk about submission without talking about rulership and authority, because we are aligning ourselves under authority. So I want to talk about submission within household, and I have something, just put for me the table on the screen. Some verses on that table that you might see, Ephesians 5 verse 21 all the way to chapter 6 and verse 18, Colossians 3 verse 18 to chapter 4 verse 1, and 1 Peter chapter 2 and chapter 3, give to us what we call the household codes. The one that I said when starting, that they have been used in the history of the church to subjugate, to subdue, and to deal very cruel with other people. So mutual submission within a household. Number one, it is husband and wife. We're going to have that stick there for quite a while now. Husband and wife. The Bible is very clear. Read from Ephesians chapter 5 verse 21. That they are supposed to submit one to another as they submit to Christ. I am a lawyer by training, and in this manner of submission, we normally call it joint and several. Let me explain what that means. It means that the husband submits to Christ. The wife submits to Christ. Both of them jointly submit to Christ. And then not only that, they submit one to another. So the husband submits to the wife, and the wife submits to the husband. Hello? It's the word of God. It's gone quiet. It's gone very quiet. It's gone very quiet. But it's all right. Read from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting one to another. And the Bible is very clear that my wife is an heir of the kingdom just as I am an heir of the kingdom. My wife is a child of God just as I am a child of God. And therefore, we have to submit individually, severally. We have to submit to Christ. And as a family, we have to submit to Christ. Even as I submit to her and she submits to me, we submit to Christ. Are we still together? Hello? And I'm coming from the premise that God has uniquely and divinely positioned us in a marriage. You will never enjoy the blessings of your marriage unless you work out the biblical principles of marriage. It's not a marriage seminar. But I like what Dr. Miles Monroe said. May his soul rest in peace. Dr. Miles Monroe said that God, in his infinite wisdom, has made women to be incubators, to be multipliers. That is how God has designed women. Men are predominantly equipped by God as people who can source. In fact, the word father means source. The Hebrew word for father is Abba. It means the source. That's why you say the father of the internet, the father of something. It means the source of something. So therefore then, when you give your wife in a family setting, when you give her joy and happiness, you have a little heaven down here. If you give her frustration, you know what you get. You have a little hell down here. You give her a seed, you get children. You give her some grocery, you get a meal. Are we together so far? So I have to submit to her and provide, and then she incubates and multiplies and we move on. That is how God has designed it. In fact, I like saying this even in my own life and my own family, that whenever I want us to make some financial decisions and investment decisions, I must consult my wife. And I have known better than not consult her. The outcome is usually unwanted and undesired. We have to submit one to another. God has equipped us differently. God has graced us differently. So that is mutual submission within a household. And I want to say this, that it's important that you see how you submit. You know, Dr. Miles Monroe continues to say that if you don't like what you are receiving in your marriage, check what you are giving. Some of you will catch it on the way home. Number two, the husband, in the context of submitting to the wife, is now called to love and sacrifice. So submission means sacrifice, to love and lay down his life just as Christ laid down his life. The husband is called to serve. We have read in the book of Matthew that Jesus says that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to lay his life down. I am called to love my wife and, if need be, to lay down my life for her, to serve her. Sometimes even breakfast in bed. Praise the Lord. See, I don't endure marriage. I enjoy marriage. Life is too short to endure. Enjoy. Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Then the Bible says, therefore then the wife then will submit. Let me say this. I know it's not a marriage seminar, and maybe some people are not very comfortable with what I'm saying, but a wife who is loved right has no issues submitting to the husband. Now, don't get me wrong. The Bible does not say that my wife should submit to every man. No. The Bible says to her own husband. So when I am with my brothers and my family, I don't expect them to expect the kind of submission she gives to me to give to them. It doesn't work like that. Pastor Rohan, we need to come for a marriage seminar. But what my point here is, once a wife is loved right, the husband sacrifices and serves the wife has no issue submitting. I repeat, if you don't like what you're receiving, watch what you're giving. Now, once the wife submits and respects the husband, Paul continues to talk about the household. And he says to the children, you have to obey, to honor, and to respect your parents. Chapter 6. This is among the first memory verses that I memorized when I was a young boy. I think I was 6 or 5. That children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise that your life may be long here on the earth. Read it, Ephesians 6 verse 1. God has called us as children to submit to our parents, to their authority, to their leadership. My question to you is, what if my parent is not godly? What if my parent is not born again? What if my parent is not a Christian? The question is not about their faith or their spirituality. The command is to honor and respect. It doesn't matter what the culture today tells us, what the TikTok generation and Gen Z have made us to believe. The command of the Lord is as simple as that. Obey your parents. Honor, respect your parents. Why? And the Bible says this is the first commandment to the promise that you may live long on the earth. And it is right in the eyes of the Lord. But the question is, we're talking about mutual submission into the household. How about parents? How are parents supposed to deal with their children? The Bible says, do not provoke them to anger, but discipline them, train, instruct, and disciple. You know, when you talk about discipline, you're talking about instructions, you're talking about discipleship, you're talking about training them. All right, that's why you have disciplined forces. There is no discipleship without discipline. So it is it's a God-given responsibility on the parents to discipline the children. That is how they show mutual submission. I love you so much, and I want to do what God has ordered me to do, to disciple you, to mold you, to shape you, to form you. You cannot abdicate that responsibility. We do not operate on popular opinion. We do not operate on what the media says. We operate by the word of God. The word of God says, I need to teach the next generation of the praiseworthy deeds of our Lord. It is incumbent upon me to instill the virtues in the word of God upon my children. That is how I submit to them. I don't provoke them to anger, the Bible says, and then I disciple them. Hallelujah. As I continue towards finishing, my next point on servanthood is submitting to leadership. And we have spiritual leadership in the church. We have leadership in the workplaces. We have leadership in the community. We have just gone through the elections. May the Lord God bless those who voted for. Sorry, I'm not going to say. I don't know who you voted for. But the Bible calls upon us to submit to leadership. I've got a question for you. Somebody challenged me and said, Victor, what if the leader is a devil worshiper? What if the leader is not a Christian? And I said, the Bible does not command me to submit to Christian leaders. The Bible commands me to submit to leadership. Remember when I taught here a few weeks ago, months ago, in January, February, about intercession. You remember? And I said, the Bible says that we need to pray for our leaders and those in authority so that we may live a peaceful life. It is not a suggestion. It is a command. When the children of Israel were going into exile, they were told to pray for the Babylonians. They were told to pray for the prosperity of that land. And God told them through Prophet Jeremiah, because if you pray for prosperity of that land, I will hear you, the land will prosper, and as the land prospers, you will also prosper. Go read the book of Jeremiah. But when they went there, they forgot about it. They began to cry and moan. They even sang a song, by the rivers of Babylon, we sat down. When we remembered Zion, we wept. We hung our harps on the willows. Yet God had told them, pray, sing, rejoice. Pray for the prosperity of that land. We have to submit to leadership. It's a godly authority. Now, it's a godly instruction. Now, I want to be careful here that submission does not mean obeying ungodly instructions. And I'm very careful here. It is not an observance of ungodly law. There was a guy, there were a few people, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they were taken into captivity, the Bible says they were submissive to the king. They were respectful to the king. But when laws were made that would have made them turn their backs on God, they said, on this matter, unfortunately, king, you would rather be right with God and wrong in your eyes. So you got to be careful with that. So I want to give you a verse here, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. It's a very important verse. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. The Bible says, obey your leaders and submit to them. And here we're talking about spiritual leadership. For they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. It is of no advantage to you when Pastor Rohan pastors you with groaning and without joy. Think about Kingdom Faith. If all Pastor Clive and Pastor Jane do is to groan and moan and they have no joy in service, the Bible says that is of no advantage to you. Now, my little English tells me that that is of a disadvantage to me. So he says, obey them, submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. And in fact, if you read in the book of Acts chapter 20, when Paul was speaking to the elders of Ephesians, he said that one day they will give an account before God. It is not just a matter of standing here and talking to you. It is not just a matter of doing the visitations. One day, Pastor Rohan will stand before God and account for the flock that he was given. Acts 20 and verse 28, they say the flock was purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have to make their work easy. We have to submit. We have to honor them. Hebrews 6, 5 to 7. Hebrews 6. 5 to 7. The Bible says, and what should your attitude be in your workplace? I like this version by Pastor Colin Urquhart, the truth version. What should your attitude be in your workplace? Show a good, obedient attitude towards those in authority over you. Some of you, if it was mentioned in your workplace that you are Christians, some people would fall back on their chairs. Your attitude, your conduct, your behavior, and Christianity are far from each other as East is from West. You cannot claim to submit to God and you're not submitting in your workplace. I tell you that under the authority of God's word and as a speaker of today. The Bible says, show a good, obedient attitude towards those in authority over you. Respect them and the position they hold, and do this sincerely from your heart, even in the same way you would obey Christ, your heavenly master. If you regard what you do at work as serving the Lord rather than men, then you will do it wholeheartedly with a good attitude. Submission is not grudging obedience. It is a wholehearted devotion. It is saying, Lord, I will do it because it is you that I'm serving. And I'm not telling you things that I don't exercise. I exercise these at work all the time. And by the grace of God, it has shown to other people. I was sharing with Pastor Rohan the other day. I just received a national award in the place where I work. I will not go into details. I didn't even know I had been nominated. Somebody nominated me. And the award was presented to me this week on Wednesday. Why? Because when I go to work, I know that I am not serving my boss. I'm not there for my CEO. I am there to serve the Lord. Heaven is my primary audience. What I say to my colleagues, what I say to my boss, as much as it might get me a pay rise or get me the sack, I know that eventually I'll have to account before God. And lastly, please give us a track, Steve. Lastly, submission is shown through surrender. James chapter 4 and verse 7. The Bible says, surrender to God. Some versions say, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I like this one that says, surrender to God. Once you've submitted to God, submitting to leadership, submitting to employers, submitting one to another becomes very easy. It is an outworking of the surrendering to God. The Bible says, surrender to God. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Surrender to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Sometimes the struggle we face, some battles we fight from January to December with little or no success, is because we are fighting them from the wrong position. If you surrender to God and then you resist the devil, he has no option. This morning as I was doing my devotion, God put a word in my heart about putting on Christ. Clothing on Christ. So I am hidden in Christ. So when I am submitted in Christ, when I am well hidden in Christ and I resist the devil cannot come near me because he would have to come through Christ. And he cannot conquer Christ. That is why, by the way, and I'm digressing, I don't fear witchcraft. Is witchcraft real? Witchcraft is real because it is condemned in the Bible. But I don't fear things like witchcraft because for you to bewitch me, you would have to first of all bewitch Christ. And then reach me because I am hidden in Christ. So I don't care what enchantments they do, what spells they cast, they cannot get to me. That is my faith in God because they would have to first of all come through Christ. Surrender to God. Draw near to him and he will draw near to you. Surrendering or submission is a joyful and happy abandonment to the will of God. Not my will, but your will, oh God. And I want to finish with a short story from the Bible. There was a woman by the name of Hannah, and the Bible says she waited for a long time for her miracle. She almost lost her mind because of the mockery she went through. She was, you know, harassed a lot. She almost suffered a nervous breakdown. She endured years, probably decades of mockery because of being childless. And now, when God eventually gave her the miracle she was praying for. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 27. Let us all stand up on our feet. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 27. She comes before God and she says, Lord, I was mocked for years. I was rejected for years. I prayed for years. And now God, you have blessed me. But one thing that I know is I prayed for this child and you have granted me what I asked. Now I give him to you. For his whole life he will be given over to you, O God. What a surrendered soul. This miracle I have always wanted. This house I have always wanted. This job I have always wanted. This happiness I have always wanted. This prosperity I have always wanted. This miracle I have always prayed for. God, you have blessed me, and now I surrender it back to you. And what would have made her to relinquish that which meant so much to her? It is submission. I remember Kingdom Faith, Faith Camp 2013. Colin Urquhart led us to make some declaration. And I remember that time my wife was actually pregnant with our son. And I was in a place where I was seeking direction from God. And he said, I wanted to repeat after me that all that I am and everything that I have belong to God. And that thing hit me. It was like some electricity went through me. All that I am, all that I have belong to you, O God. This is surrender. Job chapter 13 and verse 15. I said this, that you will give God anything when you believe that he is everything to you. I like saying this, that if Jesus is Lord, then he is Lord of all. Or he is not Lord at all. Job chapter 13 and verse 15. Job, after losing everything, he still declared his allegiance and his surrender. He said, though you slay me, God, I will still trust you. Even though God kills me, I will still trust him. And he was saying that, Lord, I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through, but I still trust you. I don't know why I am hated so, but I still trust you. I don't know why my children had to die, but I still trust you. I don't know why I had to lose everything. My house had to be repossessed. My car had to be repossessed. I will still trust you. I surrender my life to you. Everything that I am and I have belong to you. Habakkuk said in Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 17 to verse 19, and he declared and he said that even if the fig tree does not blossom and there is no fruit on the vine, though the yield of the olives fails and the field produce no food, though the flock is cut off and the fold from the fold and they are not cut up, yet I will choose to rejoice in the Lord. I will choose to shout in exultation in the victorious God of my salvation. Father God, this morning we surrender everything to you. We grant you access to all areas in our lives. You're here today, you can't say to God that, Lord, I am submitted to you, but I will keep my money. Don't ask for any of it. I will follow you, Jesus. I'm submitted to you, but don't ask me to forgive that person who hurt me. They don't deserve it. You cannot say, I am submitted, Lord. I will follow you, but don't ask me to change. Lord, I surrender to you. Accept this or accept that. There are no negotiations, no exceptions. I want you to say after me, I belong to Jesus. Say it with the conviction, I belong to Jesus. All that I am and all that I have belong to Jesus. Father God, we thank you. I pray that those declarations, Lord, may sink deep in our hearts. Jesus bought you with a price. It cost him his life. Not just part of you, but all of you. It is not your time you are spending. It is his. It is not your money. It is his. It is not your stuff. It is his. It is not your purpose. It is his purpose. It is not your life. It is his life. No exceptions. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray that today you may realign our hearts back to you in submission. I pray that you may forgive us where we've not submitted one to the other. where we have failed to submit in our households, where we have failed to respect and honor the leadership you have installed, where we have failed to surrender to you. Lord, today I pray, forgive us. Hold it not against us. If you count our sins, who can stand, oh God? We repent of it. And we pray for a turnaround, that from this day, God, we may walk in submission. We may honor one another. We may serve one another. We will do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. That, Lord, we are going to treat others preferentially. That, Lord, we are going to submit and surrender everything to you. Our money, our talents, our gifts, our lives, our livelihoods to you, Lord. Maybe you are here and you have not surrendered to Jesus, and you would like to give your life to Jesus. He died for that life. It's not yours. And all you can do today is to say, Lord, I surrender to you. You are here, you're not saved, and you'd like to get saved. Please show me by your hand, and we're going to pray with you. Anybody who's not born again, and you're saying, I would like to surrender my life to Jesus, this is your day of salvation. We would like to pray with you, and you're going to lead you to Jesus. I see no one. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the time you've given us. Right now, I want to pray for every sick person or everyone who needs a breakthrough or a miracle. In the name of Jesus, just raise up your hand and believe by faith. God can access you where you are. Father God, for each and every hand that is lifted up, I am praying for a supernatural intervention in the name of Jesus. Anyone who is sick in their body right now, I speak divine healing in Jesus' name. I rebuke every sickness. I rebuke every infirmity in the name of Jesus. I rebuke every pain. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Whatever breakthrough or miracle, oh Lord, I pray that you may do it unto them, that their joy may be complete and that your name may be praised. I rebuke every work of the enemy in the name of Jesus. I break every oppression of the devil in the name of Jesus. I rebuke every frustration in the name of Jesus. I rebuke every closed door, and I declare it to open now in Jesus' mighty name. Let there be miracles in Jesus' name. Receive your miracle. Receive your healing. Receive your breakthrough right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and we glorify your name. We pray for this congregation and the pastors and the leadership. Bless them and bless them indeed, oh God. We pray for Kingdom Faith, the entire family, oh God. May you bless the church in Jesus' name for the glory and honor of your holy name.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.